Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed. I'm your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley, and of course, the amazing Philip James Unger.
Hello.
Hi.
Heads cut off there.
How are you?
There.
Good. How are you?
I'll slouch more.
Slouch more for the TVs. You must have been slouching when they set the camera. Engineering the show is always the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, engineer extraordinaire, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during this incomprehensibly boring program. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you email to us at ask@markgunger.com. Here's how the show works. You get to send an email about anything. Nothing is off limits, hence the warning at the beginning of the show. Okay? Now, you get to stay totally anonymous. In the safety of that anonymity, we are brutally honest. While virtually every Christian broadcasting program in the universe is overwhelmingly concerned about how people feel, we don't care about how you feel. This is the show sends feelings. We don't care. Okay? We're just going to tell you what we think. Now, people wouldn't really truly be this brutal to you in real life, but this is not real life. This is radio and television. So get a clue, people. And those of you who are listening, just relax. People know what's coming. We warn them all the time. And then when they write us, we warn them again, right? Are you sure you want to do this? We'll be brutal. Yeah, we want you to do it. So people who do it, oops, my bobble hit almost went over. People who participate in the program understand how it goes, okay? You get to stay anonymous. We're brutal. Totally brutal. We don't care about how people feel. I think we can use a little of that in the world today, don't you think? Now, if we like what you have to say, we will celebrate your thinking. If not, we will castigate your thinking. Three versions of castigation on this show. If we think you need to snap out of your delusions, we will stick your head in the toilet and flush it and give you a swirly. Hopefully the water's spinning around your head. Yes, nothing like a refreshing swirly in the morning. Hopefully the water's spinning around your head will help break you out of your delusions. If we think you're crazy, you'll get the goat button. And nobody knows why it's a goat. And if you blabber on too much with too long of an email, you will get the chicken. All right, that means don't be sending such long emails. I'm fading in and out of black. Is that just my monitor?
Whoops.
That's all right, folks. Don't adjust your television. I'm fading in and out for those of you who are watching my television. The rest of you are watching or listening via the internet or on radio stations, and we appreciate you listening. Okay. Anyway, Now, on today's show is going to be a little bit different. This show is going to be about blatant self-promotion. Actually, it's not just about blatant self-promotion. We do things to help people. That's why we're doing them. So we promote these things to get them into people's hands. We write books. We release DVDs and stuff like that. We have a brand new book that we have just come out with. It's called The Beatitudes of Marriage. Now, what does that mean, Beatitudes? Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave his blessings. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are they that, you know, are persecuted. These are called Beatitudes, a fancy word for the blessings that Jesus gave. I was thinking about this. He gave 9 Beatitudes. I thought, well, I'm going to do 9 Beatitudes for marriage. But these are not blessings. These are a play off the word Beatitudes. These are attitudes you should be, hence the word be attitudes, okay? These are the way you should be. And we talk about fundamental ways that people need to be in their marriage. Now, this is a little bit different than most any of the books we've ever done before, mm-hmm. Whereas most books are, you know, big honking books and helpful and good information you can flip through and that kind of stuff. This one's done very, very simply. This is, you can tell, it's very big, first of all. It's hardcover. It is an illustrated book. That's a fancy word for a picture.
It's got pictures
For those of you who don't understand what illustrated means, it's a fancy word for picture. It's got big old pictures in it. Okay? And then, of course, it's not just pictures, but there's also copy and stuff that explains all the different things. Now, there's nine of these, nine attitudes. As you can see, the first attitude is to be nice. Now, the nice thing about this thing is the kind of book, again, if you have, if you want an opportunity to speak into people's lives, you know, this is the kind of book that you could set on your, what do you call it, coffee table, or, you know, in your business, you know, or waiting rooms and stuff like that, where people can pick it up. It's a hardcover kind of, you know, cute book with these colorful illustrations and five really important pieces of advice to give. People's advice that you can speak into their lives about how to have a better marriage. It's a great way to get conversations going if you invite somebody over for coffee or something like that, and people say, "Well, what is this?" You know, they're more likely to pick something up like this versus the big, thicker books that we've done on different subjects and stuff. This is an extremely easy read. Some couples are buying this just to use as devotionals. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's only nine devotionals. You know, but it's a fun little thing. It makes a great wedding gift, someone who's getting married, you know, great Christmas gift, people thinking about what can I get for Christmas, a birth, there's all kinds of, any kind of things where you'd like to give, some anniversary, where it's more of a gifting type book, again, than the other books that we've done. Now, we're also coming out with a version of this in paperback. In fact, I think our audience in Africa will only be getting this in paperback, so sorry that you won't get the fancy version. But even still, the other version would still work as a gift and stuff. It'll be smaller in paperback. But for everybody else, it is the bigger version. It's designed in thought in terms of gifting and the kind of thing that you can talk about. Now, on today's show, we're going to be discussing these nine different pieces of advice on ways that you need to be in marriage. It's a very easy read. It's also very funny. Can't imagine that. We tend to be a little outrageous. But they're very short chapters, extremely short. Be nice. And we talk about what it means to be nice. And we're going to go through these nine B's today. Hopefully we'll get through them all in the one show. So we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we will start taking a look at this new book. It's illustrated. Who's the lady who illustrated it?
Kara Petras.
Kara Petras. She did a great job. Mm-hmm. And again, it's really cute and stuff like that. So when we come back, we are going to talk about number one, be nice. Obviously, all the people listening on the radio, you can't see the illustrations, but trust me, go to the website, laughyourway.com. You can see examples of it, or you can download the show later online to read it. But not to insult our radio audience, a lot of people listen by radio or podcasts or stuff like that. You'll still be able to enjoy this because you'll be able to get the information. We'll talk about these one at a time. So we'll talk about our first be attitude, where you should be, when we come back right after this break.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
This portion of the Mark Gunger Show, the podcast, is being brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of audiobooks in the known universe. You can't get this book on Audible because it's my new book called The Beatitudes of Marriage. We should do an Audible of this one. It'd be easy to do.
It would be very easy.
Yeah, you could do it. You can't read the pictures.
No.
Because it's an illustrated. How would you do an illustrated book on Audible?
You describe it in detail.
I guess you could do that, couldn't you? Anyway, sorry for all your Audible people. We don't have that yet. Maybe we should do that. That'd be an easy one to do. But we do have lots of other books available on Audible.com. It is, 150,000 yes. titles. A lot of people don't have time to read today. They do have time to listen because we get stuck in cars and that kind of stuff. You pop it into your, on your phones or iPods or whatever, different things like that, and you can listen while you drive or working out or whatever else like that. So for the listeners of the Mark Gunger Show, if you go to audiblepodcast.com/Gunger, they'll give you a free download. Your first one's absolutely free. You also get a 30-day free trial. So check it out. You can be a lot smarter tomorrow than you were today by getting some good information into you. You don't have time to read, but you do have time to listen. Go check it out. audiblepodcast.com/Gunger. Do it today.
Colors choosing, distant views try to shape my vision. Perceptions change, my views they range from my human condition.
Never easy. You listen to the music of Jimmy Bratcher, the Reverend Jimmy Bratcher. We call him the Electric Rev. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. You're listening to and or watching The Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships here with Diane Brierley and Phil Gunger, answering your emails, which is our normal scenario. Right now, what we're going to do is we're talking about this new book that we just came out with called The Beatitudes of Marriage, a play off the word beatitude. Talking about Jesus, blessings on the Sermon on the Mount. This is not about blessings. These are attitudes you should be. It's a very simple book, hardcover, coming out in softcover as well. Again, I think the people overseas can only get it in softcover. But anyway, check it out. It's an illustrated book. It's a very easy read. It makes for a great gift, the kind of book that you can lay out for friends and, you know, start conversations about marriage and how you can get a chance to talk into people's lives. These are 9 very simple pieces of advice that people can get into their lives to help their marriage. So if your marriage is struggling in any way today, sit down, stop what you're doing, take a listen to this, because these 9 things, if you will simply take these 9 pieces of advice into your marriage, you can start having a much better marriage than you probably are experiencing right now. So let's go through these. Number 1, the first attitude to be nice. Just be nice, for heaven's sakes. People are so puking mean. Now, that doesn't always work. Oftentimes, people be nice when they shouldn't be nice.
This is true.
And are not nice when they should be nice, because we're upside down. What do we mean about not being nice? Sometimes you have to confront people that are acting very, very badly. If you have a husband who has, you know, girlfriends, your answer isn't be nice.
Because if I'm just nice to him, then he'll
well,
stop
you know what?
Being girlfriend.
You even when you're confronting, you say, "I guess you still be nice." But we're talking about, you know, you need to confront.
Yes.
Okay, if your wife has a boyfriend and has asked you to move out of the house so that she can move into the house with her boyfriend, and makes you get a separate apartment, and you take the kids with you while you still pay the mortgage, and you do that to be nice, you're a moron. This is a true story.
Oh, I know it is.
God bless the guy. He's a sweet guy. And I confronted him pretty strongly. When
you can still be polite.
I think I called him a moron.
You probably did.
When I was talking, are you an idiot? Are you crazy? Are you out of your loving mind? Why would you move out of the house so your wife could bring the boyfriend in and you get the apartment and take care of the kids and you still pay for everything? He said, well, I didn't want to get her mad. Mm-hmm. What? Are you crazy? Now, there's times where you need to confront people, okay? Mm-hmm. There's times for, you know, fighting. There's times for, and fighting for what's right, okay?
Yes.
So, there's people who oftentimes, they tolerate terrible situations in their marriage, thinking that's the answer. And then when you do want them to be nice, they don't seem to be able to grasp mm-hmm. that. They strain at a gnat. Mm-hmm. And swallow a camel, Jesus said. These are people who, and I love the translation in Spanish is better. It says the word mosquito.
Mosquito.
Boy, there's mosquito churches, aren't there? They just are chasing all the little mosquitoes around. And they're missing the whole point because mm-hmm. they're so busy battling stupid mosquito issues. Anyway, and there's people like that in their marriage. They fight over the mosquito stuff and they blow the big stuff. But anyway, generally speaking, people always say to me, what is the best advice you can give to people in their marriage? And my best advice, 2 words, just be nice. Don't be so puking mean. Reading from the book here, it says, for the love of God, just be nice. It is the ultimate guide to all your relational dilemmas. Here's some examples. Do I have to visit my irritating in-laws? Yes. Be nice. What if my wife is grumpy? Be nice. Well, don't I have the right to criticize my husband when he doesn't fold the clothes the way I want him to? No! Be nice! By the way, do you know people believe, because they know the Bible says you have to do certain things, but they think the minute the other person doesn't hit a certain standard, they no longer have to do those things. This happens to pastors all the time. The Bible is very clear. You're supposed to listen to, respect. Actually, it says obey. Mm-hmm. We won't push that. It literally says obey your pastors, okay, and those who have spiritual rule over you. Well, today, nobody wants to obey anybody. No, we don't even want to respect anybody. Mm-hmm. And we'll do it as long as people are nice. But the minute the pastor does something we don't approve of, then I don't have to listen to him anymore. That's what people think. They think there's a get-out-of-jail-free card. and there isn't. I preached about this last Sunday in our church. Jesus talking about the Pharisees, and he called them snakes. He called them children of hell. He insulted, whitewashed sepulchers. You're nothing but full of dead man's bones. He insulted them from heaven to earth. And Jesus told all the disciples listening to him that you have to be careful to do what they say, because they sit in Moses' seat. In other words, they have the place of authority. Even though they're children of hell, you should still respect and listen to them. That's because that's authority. That's what Jesus said. We live in a culture today that despises authority. No one can tell me anything. And church people, I mean, good grief. You know, our church, we changed the singers on stage. You'd have thought I was the Antichrist. I don't have to listen to that pastor anymore. And then they leave the church because they think that you only have to listen to someone or tolerate someone as long as they maintain a certain standard. Okay? The minute you don't hit that standard, then I don't have to do this anymore. You are delusional. Okay? Now, no one's talking about a pastor who's committing adultery and stealing money. So I'm talking about pastors just do something you don't like. You don't like the way he preaches it. You know, tell him to stick it. We're always looking for ways to tell people to stick it. And this is a culture of divorce. There's a culture of divorce in marriages. There's a culture of divorce in churches. There's a culture of divorce in organizations. People fighting all the time. We have no respect for authority in America today. We disrespect our president. We disrespect Congress. Look, you don't have to agree with these people. Personally, I think a lot of them are nuts. But at some point, you got to watch it. You can't start being disrespectful. They still need, you need to respect the office. Teachers, he used to be a teacher.
I did.
You know, back, you know, in the 1800s when you were
in
first.
In the one-room schoolhouse.
And what, she was the original Little House on the Prairie.
That was me.
Diane in her advanced age today. Uh-huh. But back when she was the Little House on the Prairie, people used to respect teachers. Mm-hmm. You know, man, see, when I was growing up, Phil, you don't remember these things. But when I was growing up, a teacher could smack you upside the head.
Me too.
I had one teacher give me a bloody nose.
Really?
Yeah.
You probably deserved it.
Oh, I did deserve it. I did. I mean, it's not even a question. Yeah. Even when he did it, I thought, yeah, I had that coming.
When I was teaching, we could not hit children. I mean,
that's
we could
too
not
bad.
Smack them.
The good old days.
But when I was in school as a student, we could be hit and smacked with rulers and all kinds of things.
The good old days when you could smack kids. Sit down, you little moron. You know, those days are gone, sadly. You know, and I would have never in my I never told my parents.
Oh, no.
They gave me a bloody nose.
No.
Oh, my gosh. I would, because they'd give me a bigger bloody nose.
If I got in trouble in school, I did not go home and say a word about it, because I would have been in more trouble once I got home.
Because you know why? They always backed up the teacher. Yeah. Always backed up the teacher. You got smacked in school? Smack, smack, and smack 10 times as hard and 10 times as many times. Mm-hmm. You know, today, are you kidding me? There's no respect for teachers. The minute a teacher says or does something, that parents run in and tear the teachers to pieces. How dare you? There's disrespect everywhere. And pastors, oh my gosh, I know, and it's not just me, pastors everywhere listen to me right now know exactly what I'm talking about. There's no respect for the ministry. Are you kidding? Pastors got to constantly dance, you know, on a little tightrope and hope they don't make somebody upset, because the minute they make somebody upset, I don't have to listen to you and you're spiritually abusive and they got all their spiritual reasons for being nasty and mean. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't hit that standard. As long as they're not hitting a standard, I don't have to respect you anymore. And that's what people do in their marriages. So these people think, you know what? My wife's grumpy. What they're implying is because she's grumpy, I don't have to be nice. Mm-hmm. Or my husband didn't fold the clothes the way I told him to. Well, I don't have to be nice anymore because he did. See, because we think, and I'm telling you, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. The way you behave is not dependent on someone else meeting a particular standard. We'll talk more about that. I'll speed it up a little bit more.
I'm like, we'll never get through the nine.
We'll make it for nine.
It's taking this long.
But I had
one
to preach on that. Just ticks me off. All you people yelling at your pastors and stuff because you don't have to think you have to agree with him or the police officer and because they didn't do it. You need to check your medication, okay? You need to show respect to people. Jesus told the people they need to respect the Pharisees even though they were children of hell. We'll talk more about that when we come right back.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
We're back. Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Talking about our new book, my new book. I say our new book because a lot of people help on these things. Especially this one over here. this one over here. I make her do an inordinate amount of work, and then I take all the credit for it, which is God's will. So that's my goal in life. Make other people do the work, and I get all the credit.
His name goes on it.
Hallelujah. That's
it, doesn't
a beautiful
even
thing.
Say thank you, Diane, in the credits or anything.
That's just nothing. Assumed everywhere. I didn't give thank anybody.
Yeah, you said to my darling Debbie.
Well, I have to say that.
I know.
Or she'll beat the
snot out
of me.
I get no thanks. I get no anything.
I have to say thanks to everybody. I'm giving you thanks right now.
Thank you.
Okay. Whiner.
Now everybody knows.
I'm not whining.
You're whining. Be nice. Okay, so the book is called The Beatitudes of Marriage, 9 Ways to Be in Your Marriage. The first one is be nice. And I just did a big whining at the beginning that you don't get to not be nice just because someone doesn't meet a standard. Man, you guys they need to replay that last section. Yeah. Rewind that and listen to it 100 times. You church people.
You have to be nice even when people aren't nice to you
No way.
Exactly.
In churches, I don't have to obey my pastor because he did such and such. And if he didn't, and he's not being sensitive to my, and he didn't speak to me the way he should, and I don't appreciate the way he did, he's going to hell. You know, I don't have to listen to people like that. Yes, you do. Jesus told the disciples, be careful to do everything the Pharisees said, and then went on to talk about what children of hell the Pharisees were. It's called respect authority.
So even if your husband is a child of hell,
even if he's a child of hell. Now, again, except for, I think sometimes you have to have tough.
Yes.
But even when you're being tough, you still need to be nice. Mm-hmm. All right. Do I have the right to, let's see, what else? Do I have to help my wife around the house even when I come home tired? Yes. Be nice. What do I do if my mother-in-law insults me? Be nice. You know, people send us all these emails. Mm-hmm. What they're really looking for is a reason not to be nice. What if my husband always forgets to take out the garbage, leaves the toilet lid up, and fails to pick up his underwear that he left in the middle of the living room just before dinner guests arrive? Check your medication. Be nice. Marriage is hard, but it is not complicated. Want to have a meaningful and successful marriage that will last you for the rest of your life? Be nice. Number two, be content. Check this one out real quick. So we've got time before the break here. Being filled with contentment and happiness is a choice, I write. Mark Unger writes. Brilliant man. Brilliant author. Brilliant. This author is a brilliant author. Brilliant man. It is not the result of everything being just the way you want it. That's not what contentment is.
Right.
Paul wrote to the Philippian church and told them that he had learned the secret to happiness. Have you learned the secret? Did you even know there was a secret? Probably not, or it wouldn't be a secret. What was his secret? To be content no matter what the circumstances. If he was hungry, he said he was happy. If he was full, he was happy. If he had lots, he said, he was happy. If he had nothing, he wrote, he was happy. He had learned the secret. And what is the secret? To be content no matter what is going on around him. That is when he said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Okay? We often quote that verse thinking that is a promise that you can change your circumstances. That's not what that verse is. I can do all things. I can go out and change the world. Okay, you can use that verse if you want to. There's lots of other verses that back that up. But when you quote, I can do all things through Christ, the context of that means that I can handle any miserable situation, even if it never changes. That's what it means when you say, I can do all things through Christ. A lot of you believe you can't possibly be happy until your marriage changes for the better. Listen to me, you need to be happy even if you're married to a complete nightmare. Even if you got an insensitive husband, even if you got a wife, you need to learn to be happy. If you believe the only way for you to be happy is that your circumstances have to change, you will be a victim all of your life. And if you learn to be happy, that's when God comes in and then he can start changing the circumstances. Because now you're living above your circumstances. Okay, we'll come back with more of this right after this break.
Caution, The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
Beam of radiance of light, that's what I do, what I do.
That's what he does. You're listening to the music of Michael O'Brien. You can check out his music at michaelo.org. This is The Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, usually answering emails. Today we're promoting my new book called The Beatitudes of Marriage, 9 Ways You Should Be. Okay, so we talked, number one, be nice. Number two, what did I just say it was? be content.
Be content.
Okay, when Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, what he's saying is, I can handle any miserable circumstance. That was the context, okay? So number three, be connected. Now, this is kind of an important one. You know, a lot of people, they live on an island. couples, no one should know our business. Never, and they never share the struggles with anybody else. You couples, and I'm telling the vast majority of you listening to me, do this because it happens everywhere in Western culture. There's this sick thinking in our heads that no one should know our business. Our business, no one should know our business. But listen to me. You live on an island, just the two of you. You will turn into cannibals, and you will wind up eating each other. God never intended marriage to be two people just living on an island by themselves. You people are delusional. For heaven's sakes, no wonder you're so stinking miserable. Here's what I say in my book. You want to save thousands of dollars in marriage counseling? Want to avoid the need for professional counseling in the first place? Here's some advice. Get some friends. And I mean get other couples that you can routinely get together and talk out the crap of your lives. Mm-hmm. How you say the word crap? How about that? Nothing is more enlightening than to take one of your stupid fights to your friends and have them tell you, you know, guys, that's kind of stupid, and help you walk through it. I mean, quite frankly, a lot of the Mark Gunger Show people write into us, they're just trying to get someone else with a different perspective. The reason they write to us is because they can't talk to anybody, which is sad. But you want to have a great marriage. People who have great marriages get some friends, and they get connected. Instead of going to your pastor and sucking the ever-loving life out of his brain, and by the way, the biggest thing that sucks and wastes the time of pastors in, at least America today, is marriage problems. Okay. I'll tell you, they spend all the time with marriage, counseling with marriage. Listening to you two whine and bellyache, oh, arguing over the stupidest things on earth, because you don't have any friends. Get a clue, you people. Now, if you've got friends and it gets so bad that you can't handle it, then go to your pastor and then go spend money for a counselor. But a lot of you guys don't even go into counseling at all. Get some people. Now, some guys say, see, he said you don't need to go to counseling. If you got some friends that you talk out your stuff with, no, you don't. I don't think you do. But most guys, they don't want to go to counseling and they don't want to tell their friends.
But they want to just keep it a secret.
They want to keep everything a secret. Keep everything. Don't tell nobody nothing. Don't tell them it's our business, okay? And then you'll stay miserable. Get the book. There's more in there. The next one, be prepared. And it says at the bottom, let's face it, life can really suck. Mm-hmm. You can tell this is not a Focus on the Family book.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they'd use the word suck.
I don't think so. God bless those guys. I'm friends with those guys, but they're ultra conservative. You know, life can suck, and I got a hilarious story in here. But life is tough. Some of you guys get all freaked out in your marriage and all panicked and stuff because things don't go perfectly. Seriously? What planet do you live on? The Bible says don't act like some strange thing is happening to you when things go wrong. Of course things are going to go wrong. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. Now that's not a promise many people get up and quote in the morning. I'm standing on your word today, Lord. Today I'm going to have tribulation. Man, nobody wants to quote that verse. But it's a promise, just like all the other promises. He says you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But he doesn't say you're not going to have tribulation. You're going to have tribulation. So you freak out. You panic. Whenever things go wrong, people are like stunned.
How could that have happened?
I'm not kidding you guys. When things go for an extended period of time in my life and there's no problems, I start getting nervous.
I know, because you're just waiting. Oh my gosh, something's happening. Something's
going to hit the fan. You know it's going to hit the fan.
I mean, you can ride the for a while, but eventually you know it's going to implode at some level.
You know, when people get mad in the church about something, you know, like just this recent, you know, to change the singers. Oh, I'm an antichrist. Oh, how can you change the singers? I don't have to listen to this church anymore. And they leave. It irritates me, but it's not shocking to me at all. When that happens, I go, oh, there it is. Mm-hmm. And point of fact, our church had gone for a long time without any problems. And I even spoke earlier this year. I said, listen, when God really starts moving and it's real quiet, watch out. Satan will come in. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. So I'm never shocked by it. Whenever something terrible happens, challenges happen, something breaks, something goes wrong, I go, oop, there it is. Oop, there it is. Oop, there it is. It's the way it is. That stuff pops up. What's stunning to me is when things like that happen to people's lives, they are stunned and amazed that something didn't go the way they want. Mm-hmm. Goodness, do you have children? Phil has children.
I have a few.
He was a good man. He was fruitful and multiplied. Gave me four glorious little grandchildren. One of the funniest things in life is the unexpected, strange, odd moments of...
Really? He did that?
The unexpected is expected now.
Oh, it is.
Like our youngest grandson just learned, you know, boys tend to go potty outside, number one. Mm-hmm. And apparently he thought, well, if it's good for number one...
it's good for number two. Tell me he was in your own yard, though.
He was... Yeah, but he likes the front yard. So there's... And our house is kind of on a hill, you know, so you got to kind of walk up.
Kind of on a hill.
Yeah, so you have to walk up, you know, to go to the front door. He loves going out the front door. So all of a sudden I'm walking past the front door and I see him, like, why are his pants around his ankles? And he's kind of looking behind him. And I realize he's taking a dump on our front porch where all the neighborhood can see him. And I found out later that he went there because he regularly goes there to go to the bathroom.
Oh, he's got a potty spot.
So open up the front door right on the front steps, just arc it right off the front there, waving the passerbyers.
Great fun for him. That's hilarious.
He's a people person.
He is. Obviously.
Likes to share everything.
So stuff happens, literally,
it,
at your house.
It does happen, and... Yeah.
So, anybody with children, and what's funny about it is they are some of the funniest memories that people have.
As long as you don't freak out and just come unglued over it.
Well, there's people who do. They just come, you know, all
the people that would be the end of the universe if their child potted in the front yard in front of the neighbors.
You know, the funniest stories that I share, and most of my humor usually is when I'm speaking, is from personal experiences, are from some of the most terrible things that happened to us.
Yeah.
But they're highly entertaining because we view them in that light, and I tell the story in that light. I listen to people share stories, and they're like on the verge of tears. And I have literally listened to them and thinking, man, if that happened to me, that'd be the funniest thing I'd have. You know, someone's telling me about, you know, we were robbed at gunpoint, you know, and just telling this horrible, and it is horrible and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm literally, I'm listening to them think, and I'm always envying because I'm thinking, man, if I had that story, man, I would have people in tears, roaring hilariously, because I would tell that story in the funniest possible way that I can, you know, because people get freaked out, you know. So anyway, okay, so we're going to come back with the next Be Attitude right after this break.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
You're back on the Mark Gunger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Today we are talking about this new book that's come out called The Beatitudes of Marriage, a hardcover illustrated book. It's a small book, easy read. It's illustrated pictures and very simple chapters and stuff. Great conversation starter, great gifts for weddings, anniversaries, Christmas gifts, anybody like that. Great thing to have in your house, on your table, for friends to come over, neighbors, or if you got a business, you got a waiting room or something like that, the kind of book you can have around, people would pick up. Real easy to read. And a great conversation starter about how you can speak into their lives about their marriage and stuff. And talk about these principles that people can put into their lives and succeed. We're going through, just highlighting it real quick, some of these attitudes that you need to be. The next one is to be proactive, okay? People who have great lives have them on purpose. That is something people do not understand. People who have great lives do so intentionally. People who have great marriages do so intentionally. We live in a world today that thinks the key to it all is luck, you know, or divine intervention. I'm waiting for the Lord to bring me my soulmate or all that kind of nonsense. When in reality is you need to be proactive. The Bible says, be not deceived. God cannot be mocked. You will reap what you sow. Sadly, people have no connection, you guys, between what they do and what they get. None. Zilch. Not a zip. You know, it's like someone who doesn't go to work and then says, how come I didn't get a paycheck? Well, you didn't go to work. Well, that ain't fair. I should get a paycheck. I mean, people who literally think this way.
Right.
They should be able to stay home, do whatever they want, and still get a paycheck. No, you don't get a paycheck if you don't show up for work. You reap what you sow. People take this into their marriages. How come my marriage is so terrible? It's not because you're unlucky or something. Because you get what you put into it. You reap. You God was not mocked. You will reap. Nobody escapes this, people. Nobody. And there's pastors listening to me right now. Your marriages are horrible. You and your wife, you can't stand each other. A lot of pastors have terrible marriages, they by do. The way. Some of the biggest, fanciest, big-name preachers I could name by name. Some of you would be mortified.
Do not.
I will not. Their marriages are terrible. Some of the guys you watch on TBN, some of these big, I'm telling you, it is. And if I was in a conversation, these guys would admit it. I'm not going to say their name, but and I don't mean to impugn all of them, but a lot of them, some of the best ones, have marriages that are dreadful and terrible and horrible. How many great preachers do you know that end up in divorce because their marriages are terrible? Why? Because God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. I don't care if you're the greatest man of God and you can quote from the scripture and you can teach the word and lay out the word. And, hallelujah! This is what God says. You still are not exempt. You will reap what you sow. And the reason why some of you have such terrible marriages is because you do terrible things. You neglect. You do all kinds of stuff that is improper and wrong. And they think they should be exempt. Nobody's exempt. Nobody's exempt. You will reap what you sow. And I talk to people all the time. You know, Pastor, here's some from the book. You know, Pastor, our marriage is terrible. We have no connection and seem to be continually drifting apart. Why is that? And you ask, well, do you ever spend any time with each other? Well, we are kind of busy. Well, do you talk at the end of the day? Well, we're tired and really want to watch the late show before we go to bed. Well, do you guys ever have a date night with just the two of you and no kids? And women, oh no, we don't think that's fair to the kids. Do you do anything together? Well, not really. So why do you think we're struggling?
Because it's supposed to magically happen.
So, seriously, suggest to these clueless souls that the reason their marriage is so lacking because they don't put any effort into it and they stare at you with a hollow glaze. You no, see, your marriage stinks because you stink. You don't do anything. You don't spend any time with each other. You know, it's like someone who, you know, has a garden that is all weeded over and stuff like that. And then they look by at somebody else's garden and they say, well, how come your garden's so nice? And they go to their pastor. Pastor, our garden looks so terrible. It's full of weeds. Why is that? Well, do you ever pull the weeds? Well, no. Do you fertilize the garden? Well, no. Do you do anything for your... Well, we threw some seeds out there one day. Mm-hmm. Now, no one would think would be that stupid with a garden, but yet they're that stupid in their marriages. You will reap what you sow, people. If you are looking at your marriage today and it is miserable and you have this huge sucking sound over your marriage... Because your marriage sucks. It's because you are doing the wrong things.
Do you ever notice that the opposite of sucking is to blow? And yet, if you say your marriage blows, it's also negative?
Oh, really, you need no wind at all. It's either blowing or sucking.
Yeah.
If you want calm in your marriage, you know, you got to do the right things.
Yes.
Here's another one. Be clear. Be clear, you people. You want a good marriage? You got to be clear. Oh, no, I'm not clear. Ah. Here's an analogy in a couple's relationship. The guy says to his wife, why are you upset? Well, you know why I'm upset. No, I don't. Well, I clearly communicated to you that you really hurt me when you failed to do what I needed you to do. You did? Well, yes. Well, when did you do that? Well, remember in the middle of all that work in the kitchen when we were so busy? Yeah. Well, don't you remember when I sighed really long? I guess so. Well, that was my way of telling you that I was really, really upset. Really? I just thought you had gas. You're so insensitive. Seriously, you girls, and girls are mostly, but it's not always the women. It depends on who's the most emotive in the marriage.
Yeah.
Sometimes the men are more emotive. In my marriage, I'm Mr. Feely Touchy Emotive. And I would do something like this.
Yeah.
I would think I'm being so clear. That's not being clear. You have to be clear. You sighing and rolling your eyes and going, and all this is not being clear to someone. You think, well, if you were more sensitive, you know what I need. That's a bunch of horse manure. And how many women claim that? He was just more sensitive. He know what I need. No, he doesn't know what you need because you're never clear. You want a good marriage? Here's a big B. Be clear. All right? Be clear about that. We'll be back with the final ways to be right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
She was an angel, so is she. Like mixing whiskey and gasoline.
The music of Jimmy Bratcher. Check him out at jimmybratcher.com. You're listening to and or watching The Mark Gunger Show. Talking about love, marriage, and relationships. As always, today we're promoting the new book that we came out with called The Beatitudes of Marriage. A fun, illustrated, very simple read. Great for gifts, Christmas, anniversaries, marriage gifts, that kind of thing. And a great book to have around your house because it's easy for people to come over and just pick up. And they're illustrated simple little things with a little piece of advice on how they can have a great marriage. And it's, by and large, pretty entertaining. Here's the final three things you need to do. One, or B, you need to be doers. You need to be doers of the word. What does that mean? You need to live out your Christian faith. A marriage license is not permission not to live out your Christian faith. It's stunning to me how many people are careful to watch their Christian faith be kind, patient, loving, forgiving until they get home. Mm-hmm. Once I get home, I don't have to be that way. See, there again, it goes back to that early thinking that because someone doesn't meet a standard, I don't have to live out my Christianity. Mm-hmm. All you people who do that are wrong. You're just wrong, and someday you're going to see when you stand before God just how wrong you are. Just because a pastor doesn't treat you a certain way doesn't mean you don't need to listen to him. Just because someone does something you don't think they should do doesn't mean you get off the hook. Jesus wrote or told his disciples, you need to be careful. Read it. It's Matthew, the 23rd chapter. You need to be careful, he said, to do everything the Pharisees tell you to do. Careful to do it. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on and tells them what children of hell those Pharisees are. That messes with Christians because we don't have to listen to anybody. If they're not being godly men and being led of the Spirit, I don't have to listen to my pastor. Really? Unless he's teaching heresy or something, yes, you do. And people think this way toward their pastor. They think this way toward their marriage. I don't have to do it because he's... Well, a lot of people think they don't have to live out their faith at home because
he's not being the spiritual leader of the house, so I don't have to. She's not submitting to me as a godly woman, so I don't have to.
Exactly, and you're wrong. Those people do need to do that, but that's between them and God. You need to live out your faith at home. You need to be doers of the word. Here's another B, second to last B, be patient. People, it takes a long time to get a marriage right. People get so frustrated. Oh, we've been married for 12 days and I can't figure it all out. You know, hey, it takes a while. Even 12 years, you're still a rookie status. It takes a while. Be patient, you people. Here's from the book. All studies show that women have a dramatic impact in changing their husbands. Married men tend to be healthier, happier, make more money, and even live longer than their single counterparts. So take heart, ladies. Yes, you can change your husband. But you need to view him as a long-term project. The good news is that you can eventually get a man to where you want him. The bad news is, when he gets there, he usually dies from old age. Because it took a while. Mm-hmm.
A long time.
Just be patient, for heaven's sakes. Here's the last one. Of ways to be dead. Be dead. What does that mean? Jesus taught us that we need to die to ourselves. This is a part of Christianity you don't hear very often. Because we're, despite our claim of teaching the full gospel of God, many people today are not teaching the full gospel. If anything, what you'll hear in most Christian broadcasting is how God wants to bless you and make you happy. Does he want to bless you? Yes. Does he want you to be happy? Yes, he wants you to learn to be happy. But that's not the full gospel. There's part of it where you need to be dead. You don't get everything you want. That's the bad news, folks. You need to die to yourself. You can't possibly read the New Testament and not come away with the idea that God wants to kill you. Not the physical you, but the selfish part of you. You need to die to yourself. You need to pick up your cross. Did you know, reading from the book, did you know why the Bible teaches us to die to ourselves? Because dead people are very easy to get along with. They really are. You can ignore them all day. They never get upset. You can poke them with a stick. They never hit you back. They never complain if you fail to meet their emotional needs, mostly due to the fact that most of their needs are pretty low because they're dead. If you don't clean the house in a perfect way, they don't care. You won't hear a single criticism from a dead person. Dead people are very easy to get along with. And Jesus gave us this parable. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Boy, if that doesn't describe a lot of people today. And we're talking Christians. People who are stuck in the ground, refusing to die to themselves, won't let go of what they want, upset that they are alone, cold, unable to move, can't see anything, they're breathing dirt. Pastor, what can I do, Pastor? It's so cold in here. It's dark, Pastor. I keep breathing dirt. Pastor, help me. Help me, Pastor. What should I do? What should I do? Here's what you should do. Die already, for heaven's sakes. You need to learn to let go and let God. As much as God wants to bless you and answer your prayers, if you will stand in faith, and there's a big part of Christianity that is about faith and trusting God for miracles in your life. You're not hearing the whole story if you don't get this picture, that you don't get everything you want. Sometimes the answer is no. You need to let go and let God. You need to learn to die to yourself, because if you will let go and let God, you'll break out of that dark dirt and start growing into the sunshine of His glorious grace. Check out the book. All right? Beatitudes for Marriage. God bless you. See ya.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.